From the people who bring you Charleston Home & Design Magazine, the Charleston Home & Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Step right up, come on in. If you'd like to take the grand tour of a lonely house that once was home, sweet home. I have nothing here to sell you, just some things that I will tell you. Some things I know will chill you to the bone. Over there sits the chair where she'd bring the paper to me and sit down on my knee. Whisper, oh, I love you. But now she's gone forever, and this old house will never be the same without the love that we once knew.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home & Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. That was the legendary George Jones with the Grand Tour, a oldie but a goodie, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Rachel Lolar. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home & Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the two custom home shows we organize, the Charleston Home & Design Show, which happens every January, and the Charleston Fall Home Show, which happens every August. And we also organize the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, which unfortunately we have to cancel. Was originally scheduled for April. We moved it to Saturday, June 13th, and we in recent days decided to go ahead and pull the plug on that because, you know, people are just still a little bit sensitive about going into crowds and things like that. We just didn't want to put any kind of burdens on the homeowners that were providing the custom homes for the tour, or, you know, make anyone feel uncomfortable on Daniel Island, that kind of thing. So unfortunately, the 2020 Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour has been canceled, and we're going to be back in April of 2021 for sure. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're repeating an interview that we aired last weekend, because it's still very, very relevant, and I had a tenant call me and said that he thought that the house had termites, and I assured him that we have a contract with a termite company, and they do annual inspections, and this is normal because this time of year is swarming season for termites. So you may have seen termites maybe popping up inside your house or maybe in the windows or something like that, and usually they die, they swarm, They lose their wings as soon as they land and crawl into a house trying to find a new to create a new nest, and usually most of them die. But we're repeating an interview with Bert Snyder with Palmetto Exterminators, and he told me they got like 1,200 phone calls the day after. This was about 10 days ago, the day after the first night of swarming. And he's got some great tips on how to avoid termites in your home during swarming season. And then we're also going to be talking to William Albrecht III with Southern Lumber and Millwork. Have a great weekend. And now joining us on the phone is William Albrecht III with Southern Lumber and Millwork. How you doing, William?
Good, Tim. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Reason I mention, I don't usually, I'm not usually that formal and say, you know, this is so-and-so the third or whatever, but Southern Lumber and Millwork is a family business, and the Albrecht family, you have several generations that are working at Southern Lumber and Millwork, right?
Right, yes, sir. So I'm the fourth, and then there's a Schuler family as well, and you got Thad, my Aunt Joy, you got my dad, Ben, my cousin. Yeah, there's a whole group of us over here for sure.
Gotcha. Are you the third or the fourth?
I'm the third. I'm the fourth generation.
Oh, okay, fourth generation, but you're the
third as far as my namesake goes.
Gotcha, but you're William Albrecht the third. That confuses me. Sorry about that. So Southern Lumber and Millwork, are you like some of the other building supply companies around town? Has your business increased during this quarantine?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't slowed down much for us at all. I mean, obviously we were deemed an essential business, you know, like kind of like everyone else, but it's definitely still been going. I think kind of in effect, you got a lot of the, you know, people stuck at home looking to get some projects done, and it's really just kind of been nonstop for us for sure, and we're definitely grateful for that.
Right. It's been a challenge for everybody. What did Southern Lumber and Millwork do? What kinds of things did you implement to keep your staff safe and your customers safe?
So, I mean, we kind of broke it down in stages of, you know, our response based on, you know, what the CDC was saying and what all, you know, we were trying to do to keep not only our people safe, but our customers safe, et cetera. First thing we did, we shut down, you know, showroom areas. Obviously, those are super high traffic areas. Everyone wants to touch and feel the windows and, you know, feel the trim profiles. We kind of, you know, right off the rip decided that's, you know, it's not going to work. We need to, you know, cut down on all the high traffic areas. So we closed the showroom and closed our kind of walk-in counter, and went out to like a call-in system. So whenever you're here, just call us, you know, we'll bring your lumber to you, and you know, try to stay as distant as possible. And it went pretty good. Obviously it took a little longer, things took a longer, but you know, generally speaking, people were definitely pretty patient and understanding the situation, so we're pretty happy with how it went.
Is the Southern Lumber and Millwork showroom open now?
So we're looking to open like kind of fully next week. We've been doing some stuff by appointment, and obviously just sanitizing and cleaning in between people, and we're trying to leave the doors open as much as possible so people aren't grabbing door handles, and there's hand sanitizer at every entrance. So we're really encouraging people to take advantage of that, and you know, again, just be as safe as possible.
Well, that's,
and everyone's a little different on that, so we're kind of respecting everyone's views, but helping keep our people safe at the same time.
Well, it's so good to hear that that Southern Lumber and Millwork and so many other companies that people see featured in Charleston Home and Design magazine that you're all getting back to normal. And this has been a disruption. I'm really pleased to hear that Southern Lumber and Millwork didn't slow down much, and you were able to keep everybody on the payroll and keep things rolling. So that's great news to hear from you.
For sure, we're very happy with it, and you know, very grateful we were able to. You know, we were actually even hiring during all this going on, so we're, you know, very grateful and appreciative, and obviously our people are super, super appreciative and grateful that we were able to do that as well. So it's worked out okay for us.
Yeah, and I keep singing the praises of Governor Henry McMaster, because you know, he was smart enough to recognize that there's certain businesses that naturally have social distancing going on. And, you know, whenever I have bought lumber at Southern Lumber and Millwork, the Southern Lumber has a massive lumber yard, and everything is very nicely organized and covered. And but your employees are kind of they're already spaced out. They're not huddling together. Right. They don't have to do that. And so such good
right.
news.
So everyone's kind of working on, you know, something different. Everyone's helping a different customer. So we're pretty good about not having people grouped up, and you know. People definitely don't seem to mind you telling them not to help load the lumber on their car. You know, they're definitely not jumping to help you put the 6x6 on their roof. So it doesn't seem to be too much of a problem having people kind of stay in their car and let us load them up and all that.
Right.
So kind of by its own nature, it's socially distant. We, you know, our delivery drivers aren't having people come running outside to offer to help put the trim in the house, you know.
So, yeah, yeah.
Kind of by the nature.
The social distancing is already happening naturally and organically. Well, good deal. Well, you know, the and again, it's good news that Southern Lumber and Millwork is opening up your showroom, because you just recently completed a big overhaul of your showroom. And tell people what they will see when they visit Southern Lumber and Millwork.
Right. So it's totally brand new. We've always had some display stuff in the past, but what we've done now is totally new to us, and it's gone great. But pretty much, obviously, we had to have offices inside for all of our people to have, you know, places to work from, but we kind of turned all those offices into their own spaces. So as you walk through the hallway, there's, you know, different styles, different trims, different doors on each. Everyone's door is different. Everyone's trim is different. All the different windows, impact, non-impact, Anderson, Marvin, by Winkle, you know, all the above kind of displayed in an active, they're being used actively in their environments. You can feel the operation of the window. You can open and close the door. You can feel the difference between a solid core and a hollow core door, you know? So it's really an efficient use of the space, and it's kind of got everything on display, from different screens, balusters, you know, windows, kind of everything you could think of, different siding all over the place. So it's a good spot to, even like, you know, before construction starts, not just a good spot to pick out your doors, you know, it's a good place to come see the windows you're going to buy, feel how they operate. And it's gone very well for us.
Yeah, that's a really smart thing that you folks did at Southern Lumber and Millwork. We have a few other clients in Charleston Home and Design magazine that they did the same thing. They wanted to. I can think of one cabinet company, Jilco Kitchen and Bath. They wanted to demonstrate their the different types of cabinetry that they had, and they ended up integrating it into some of the offices that they had for people. So.
Right.
You know,
it's a great way to show the practicality of how it works and operates every day. I mean, quite frankly, you know, this place is, like I said, it's pretty high traffic, so you get to see like the real wear and tear on products in a real high traffic environment. So, you know, the door that, you know, you're looking at buying, it probably gets open and closed 100 times a day.
Yeah.
You know, way more than at your house. And, you know, this is how it's holding up.
Right.
So it's pretty practical. You get to see and feel, and for a lot of people, it's about the feel. Like, how heavy is that door? I want it to close hard behind me. Here you go. This is your options. Here's, you know, this, and this. Try this out. See what you like.
Sure.
You know, it's been super useful for us, and kind of helps let someone know what they're getting.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Yeah, that's true. And then right outside the showroom, you've got a wall that has several different versions of siding that Southern Lumber and Millwork provides.
Right. Yes, we got all the different Hardy options. We've got some wood siding options, some of the new Hardy lines. We kind of got everything going. Some Boral options. So kind of bit everything on the siding. You know, PVC shake.
Yeah.
Cedar shake. Fiber cement shake. Kind of everything. So, you know, we've got pretty much all on display. So. So readily available to look at.
Right. And again, the nice thing about that is it's not, the siding is not on display in an interior fashion where it's protected, and it's being used. It's on the outside of the building, just like you're going to have that siding installed on the outside of your house. And so you're able to see how it holds up to the weather elements that we have.
Right, Exactly, and probably a pretty tough environment for it as well, between all the forklift dust and, you know, wood chips and stuff. It's a pretty rough environment for this stuff, so it's a good way to tell what you're getting and, you know, see the difference in products for sure.
Do you have to clean that siding on a regular basis?
So we clean it, you know, maybe every other week, just to keep, you know, dust and stuff off of it. But we don't we're not repainting it all the time. We really want to show like a harsh environment on this product. This is what you're going to get, you know. So we don't go over the top with it, you know. We keep it clean so people, you know, want to come through and see it. But we definitely want to show, you know, the durability of the products that we recommend and offer for sure.
Right, and people have probably seen Southern Lumber and Millwork when you're on 26. And you can see all of your land and buildings and so forth from Interstate 26. And there's a lot of you know, people wonder, why do I have to keep buying new tires? Well, those tires wear down on the road. It turns into tiny little bits of piece of dust, and so you guys probably get hit by a lot of that dust over there too from
yeah,
the interstate.
For sure. It's just, you know, between, you know, our manufacturing facility with sawdust and, you know, keeping it clean, so it kind of all molds together. We don't know who's cleaning it up. We're just cleaning it up and trying to keep it as clean as possible.
Right. So speaking of I-26, a few years ago, the highway department came to Southern Lumber and said, we want to buy some of your land and you don't have a choice in the matter. We're using eminent domain to basically take some of your land for a new interchange that's happening off of I-26 going to the old Navy base, right?
Right. So we used to operate on just over 7 acres. Now we operate on around 5. So we did a lot of consolidating, move some old buildings, build some new ones. Ended up working pretty good. We ended up getting, you know, we built a new shop out of it and helped be a little more efficient on our shop side. So those, you know, and those guys are loving that, the new shop. Obviously, we got a lot of guys that worked here for a long time, and that new shop is, you know, much more user friendly than the old one. But so we, you know, we had to get creative with our space, but it worked out pretty good. We got a couple new sheds out of it, so we're you know, keeping it going there. It's a much more efficient layout. And ironically, you know, you probably don't hear this a lot, but in our opinion, the overpass is getting built pretty quickly. So it actually hasn't been terrible for us as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and yeah, that's a good point, because I guess it's called King Street Extension. That road has been closed on and off. It's disrupted traffic to Southern Lumber and Millwork. And have you guys seen any kind of a business downturn while those roads were closed?
So there's been a few times where, you know, a road will be closed, like, you know, the road everyone takes to come to us is King Street or Meeting Street. And there's been a couple, you know, perfect storms where Meeting Street will be flooded and King Street's closed. So it's been a difficult a couple times for us to get to and from the yard. But other than that, it's been decently flowing. It hasn't been too terrible for us.
Well, I'm sure it was quite a shock and took a lot of time to absorb the realization that the you know, the state of South Carolina was taking part of your land. And I know you were compensated, but you had no intention of selling that land. And it's nice to hear that you know, the old cliche, you've turned lemonade out of lemons, right?
Yeah, for sure. So it's, you know, it took a lot of planning and you know, my cousin's dad pretty much, you know, headed that one up. Took a lot of planning and a lot went into that for sure. But, you know, we're kind of able to make the vision come true for what we were trying to accomplish. And it worked out good. I'd say overall it worked out good.
Southern Lumber and Millwork, in recent years, you folks have become one of the top selling lumber yards in America for Anderson Windows, right?
Right. So in 2014, which seems like it wasn't that long ago, but I guess 6 years ago now, we were the Anderson National Dealer of the Year. And then, you know, we've gotten various awards over the, you know, following years for, you know, sales volumes and stuff. They're a big partner of ours for sure.
What do you, and I know a lot of that business comes from people building custom homes, and very oftentimes the builder has a big influence on the homeowner's purchase of those windows and doors. Why do you think so many custom builders have recommended Anderson Windows and specifically Southern Lumber?
Well, I think for both parties, but you know, especially speaking for Anderson, I mean, they've got the reputation and the name, right? It all comes down to, you know, architect and builder spec. As far as you know, like most of our projects are, you know, new construction, custom homes, and a lot of big remodels, but it comes down to the architect's spec, and it's a product that they believe in and we believe in, and it, again, like, it's kind of a perfect storm situation. It's a good product at a valuable price, and it just seems to work for everybody. Everyone, homeowners get their different choices of finishes and options that they want. The architect and builder are getting the warranty and product specifications that they want for a build for them to feel good about it. It just works great.
Right, right. I know Southern Lumber and Millwork, you folks do a lot of business with custom builders and remodeling contractors, and I know a lot of architects believe in Southern Lumber a good deal too. What about the homeowner? What about the DIYer? Do you get DIYers to visit Southern Lumber? Are they important to you?
Oh yeah, all the time. They're actually a huge part of our business. The walk-in customer, the call-in delivery, and a lot of our front counter sales. We've got John and Liz up front, and then the retail center is there for walk-ins as well. So there's a whole host of options for them. We're not just geared towards just the large contractor. We're not just going for the big custom homes. We're here to take care of everybody. We've been here for almost 80 years now. This is our community, so we want to take care of everyone we can get our hands on, for sure.
It seems like the quality of the lumber at Southern Lumber and Millwork is different than the quality of the lumber that you get at the big box stores. And I've walked through some of the big box stores before and just watched people kind of tossing aside, one by material or two by material that has maybe too many knots, or maybe there's some sort of a bend, the board is warped or that kind of thing. What is it about? You guys must vet the lumber that comes into Southern Lumber.
So we, obviously local's always better, whether it's us or someone else. We definitely always recommend local, whether, it's us or another local building supply material, lumber yard. But we do make it a huge point. I mean, from a purchasing standpoint, we align ourselves with partners. We don't want to just, buy a truckload lumber from someone. A lot of times we're going to the mills, we're seeing their process and how they operate, and that's, how we choose to align ourselves with someone is, are they putting out a quality product, and is that something that we want to represent? And that's a huge part of, why we've been around so long is, not to say everything we ship out here every single day is completely 100% perfect, but we do make, our best effort to align ourselves with the right vendors and suppliers and stand behind those products, each and every day. And that's a huge part of it, is just having people who care. And that's a big thing we preach around here. If you wouldn't put in your house, don't ask someone else to put in yours. So it's a big thing for us, for sure.
Right, for sure. How many people work at Southern Lumber and Millwork?
I believe that as of this morning, it was 123.
Wow.
It's a lot more than you might think looking around, but there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, especially between manufacturing and receiving, shipping, ship ops. There's a lot of departments in a small place, but we make it work.
Good deal. Well, there's 100+ employees that live right here in Charleston. They're spending their money right here in Charleston. So, when for the next project that our listeners have, they should definitely check out Southern Lumber and Millwork. Keep the dollars local rather than going to a big box store where the dollars are just heading straight out of town. Because those dollars that you spend with Southern Lumber, they're going to be paying local people. Those people will end up buying groceries and all sorts of different products right here in Charleston. So it's a great way to recirculate those dollars right here in our local economy. Well, William, how can folks get more information about Southern Lumber and Millwork?
So obviously we're on the web. It's solumber.com. Obviously we're on Instagram and Facebook as well. We try to post stuff all the time, so give us a like and a share and a follow there. Or if you want to come down and see us once we're fully opened up, hopefully next week, it's 2031 King Street Extension. Right down, obviously, keep going down King Street. It's kind of in between Charleston, North Charleston. Or it's 843-744-6281. And someone will be glad to help.
All right, good deal. Well, we have been talking with William Albrecht III with Southern Lumber and Millwork. Thanks so much, William.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Have a good one.
And joining us on the phone now is Bert Snyder with Palmetto Exterminators. How you doing, Bert?
Just fine, Tim. How are you?
Good, good. So, Bert, this time of year, I always reach out to you because there's something that homeowners are experiencing across the Lowcountry that is very, very frightening. And I'm not talking about COVID-19. It's the swarming of termites. And Bert, if you don't mind, could you take a moment and kind of put yourself into a homeowner's shoes? And what are they experiencing right now as it relates to swarming termites?
Well, every year, it's an annual event, and we have a particular species of termite here called the Formosan subterranean termite. It's an invasive species that moved in the 50s, and it has taken over the area where it's the dominant termite that we deal with now. And one of the unique features, behaviors of this termite is that their colonies are very large, and they also infest live trees. So we have these beautiful trees around here, the live oaks and the water oaks, which these termites like to infest when there's heart rot in those trees. And every spring, right around Memorial Day, they swarm out of those colonies by the tens of thousands. One colony can produce 70,000 swarmers. We know that there are 10 to 15 colonies per acre. These termites will fly by the tens of thousands towards the lights around 9 or 10 o'clock at night on your house. Mm-hmm. And they're very good crawlers. They crawl up the wall into any crack and crevice they find, mainly into the soffit vents, into the attics, and then they will come down through your attic space and from can lights or air conditioning registers, any place there's a gap. They also come in around doors and windows, and really can be quite annoying with, you know, hundreds if not tens of thousands of termites trying to crawl in and around your house. Now, those are the ones that swarm from outside coming towards your house. Can be really frightening if you have an infestation that you're not aware of, and they actually come out of the wall, say around a door frame or a header or whatnot, and you have literally tens of thousands of insects flying inside the room around to the point that you literally have to vacate the room. It can be quite disturbing. So typically, though, most homeowners see a couple dozen that are crawling in from outside. Just because you see some doesn't mean you have an infestation. 98% of all of the swarm calls that we get right now, we determine have just swarmed off-site, landed on the property, and have crawled in. But it can be very disturbing or disconcerting to a homeowner thinking that their house is infested. It is not something you need to be freaking out about, but you do need to understand that these termites can infest your house. The swarmers don't have any biting, chewing mouth parts, but their job is to pair up and mate and start a new colony. So if you've got leaf litter on your roof, clogged gutters, or rotten window frame, or something like that, they can certainly infest those areas.
Gotcha. So the and you mentioned something a minute ago about they swarm to the lights. So It does it help if you turn off your porch lights or you don't have any outdoor lights on your house? Will the termites, maybe the swarming termites, avoid your house because you don't have a porch light on?
Yes, most definitely. We advise all of our customers to turn off their exterior lights, particularly porch lights or garage light, unless they're absolutely needing them. And to, if they can, cut off their the uplighting. Now, if the uplighting is out in trees and stuff out in the yard, that's probably okay. But if you've got uplighting on your house and outdoor lighting on your porch, or driveway that's directly on the side of your house, you need to cut those off because those termites will be attracted to that area. They'll even be attracted to a lamp sitting in front of a window. So if you have a lamp that comes on right in front of a window, it's good to even shut those lights off right in front of a window. So reducing your outdoor lighting right now through the first half of June is a recommendation that we tell everybody.
I live in the Hampton Park area downtown, and that the Hampton Park area has been considered to be ground zero.
You've heard me say that before.
Yep, for Formosan termites. And I remember 20 years ago, at this time of year, looking out at from my porch on looking out at Hampton Park, and just like you said, there was a street lamp, and you really couldn't see clearly because there were so many swarming termites surrounding that street lamp. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, this is bad.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's something that we are stuck with forever. We're just going to have to live with it. So everybody needs to become educated to what that is and what that represents to, if you're a property owner, homeowner, and the things that you need to do to protect your property. Because we can only do so much. We have to have the homeowner's help, you know, maintaining the property. Like I said, cleaning gutters, leaf litter, not piling up mulch too much. And this year in particular, I predicted it's going to be an epic year because of the hurricanes and snowstorm that we had the last 3 years. There's a lot of tree damage. There's a lot of down trees and stumps and a lot of food source. Plus, we've had a very wet, mild winter. So it's just the stars are aligning, if you will, for an epic swarm season, meaning we're going to see a whole lot more volume of termites this year than we have, like last year when we had the drought. In fact, yesterday we received over 2,000 phone calls in one day yesterday. I think it might have been a record at our Charleston branch office.
Wow, 2,000 phone calls, and those are phone calls coming from very panicked homeowners.
Yeah, some are customers, some are used to it, but we want to address all of them. Ones that we think have very low numbers and we think just are coming from outside, we'll actually do a virtual inspection with FaceTime on the phone. Those that have, you know, 100 or several hundred of them inside their house and we're concerned there might be something going on, we'll actually physically go and inspect those. So yeah, it's something that homeowners need to be educated on because they're going to see them every year. And we just don't want people to. The newer people moving into the area that's not used to them, they usually freak out. The homeowners that live here don't freak out, but they are concerned enough that they will call.
Yeah.
We want them to call.
And what are some of the telltale signs that people will see around their house to know that these swarming termites have visited their home?
Well, a lot of times you will find dead ones inside your house, probably sometimes the next morning. And what they will look like is they're little brown, almost look like an ant, probably a quarter inch in length. Without their wings, they fly, land, and drop their wings, and they crawl around. So you'll see these little brown insects dead on the ground, and some of them may even still be alive. You'll also could find wings. You know, like I said, they drop their wings. So they're a solo flight. They fly off out in the yard, fly towards your house, land, drop their wings, because then they want to pair up with a male and female, want to pair up, and then crawl into some place secluded that hopefully has some moisture that they could start a new colony. So you can see the wings, or you can see winged termites crawling around, flying towards the lights, or you can just find the little bodies after they've dropped the wings.
And I've watched enough versions of Naked and Afraid to know that termites are a good source of protein, but I don't. I hope no one ever around here has to go to such measures.
Yeah, it's good food for the tree frogs and the chameleons. So it's Mother Nature's source of food.
Bert, Palmetto Exterminators, how long have you folks been in business?
Our business was established in 1960. We are a family-owned and operated company. My brother and I, we're the second generation and have taken it over from our parents who have retired, and we're still operating today, and our home is Charleston, but we operate throughout the state, and we go over into North Carolina and Georgia. So we have 7 branch offices around the state.
Wow, that's impressive. And you started right here in little old Charleston.
Yeah, actually it started in Waldorf.
Oh, okay.
We expanded into Charleston in the late 70s.
Gotcha. And your dad started the business. I remember you telling me that he said, if you're going to continue in the family business, you need to go to college and get a degree that specializes in insects. Tell our listeners about that a little bit.
Correct. There is the study of insects is called entomology, and my dad was an entomologist, graduate entomologist from Penn State. Before he started the adventure of Palmetto Exterminators, he was the national training director for Orkin and then for Terminex, and then started Palmetto Exterminators. He and mom did. And he always said, don't worry about business, just don't spend any more money than you make. But to separate yourself from the competition, to being considered an expert in that, and just give you a good fundamental knowledge of what we're dealing with, get a degree in entomology. So he told all of the sons, if you're going to come into the business, you have to get a degree in entomology. So that's what I did. I came in first and took over the business. And fortunately, my brother was a CPA, so it worked out perfect. Even though he doesn't have a degree in entomology, he's our accountant, so worked out well.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about what a homeowner can do to protect their home from termites. Because you mentioned before that we do have a lot of newcomers in the Charleston area that aren't used to termites and that kind of thing. If you own a home, every homeowner should have a contract with a termite with a pest control company like Palmetto Exterminators. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes, the first thing a homeowner should have is a very effective termite control program with a professional service on their property. And that would include, a treatment initially if it wasn't treated during construction, where we treat the foundation with a variety of different products. You could use a soil termiticide. We use Termidor, which is a liquid termiticide that we apply to the soil foundation. It's the number one most effective product on the market, and any company could get that. There's also baiting systems out there that people could buy. I personally do not recommend using a baiting system as a standalone. It's not while it works, it's not the most effective tool. We use it as a supplement. So having an inspection and a service and a control program in place is the first thing all homeowners should have. It's something that a homeowner cannot do termite control on their own. It's not a DIY project. They don't have the ability to get the chemicals. Well, they could probably get the chemicals online. You can get anything online, but you don't have the equipment, the tools, and the know-how to apply them correctly, you don't have the training to do the inspections properly. One of the most important things that a homeowner needs to have done to the property is a very thorough inspection, looking for not only the activity, but also the conditions conducive. A lot of times we find what we call the conditions conducive first. That means moisture problems, construction issues, those type of things. Example, caulking and painting that may be needed where there is exposed wood or wood is getting wet. Also clogged gutters, leaf litter on a roof. All of those things are things that the homeowner and needs to take care of. And we try to help a homeowner identify those things through our inspection process and documentation to help them correct those problems. Because you're going to see termites. It's inevitable a house is going to get termites in the low country. There's no way to stop that. So all we can do is reduce the odds of a termite infestation from occurring. And we need the homeowner's help to do that.
You know, you mentioned the inspection and how crucially important that is. In full disclosure, I'm a customer of Palmetto Exterminators, and After we built our house, we had one of your technicians come out, and I thought new construction. We've got, you know, they already did the initial treatment, which lasts a number of years. We should be in good shape. And lo and behold, your technician found two different examples of where the termites had begun to establish a colony. And one of them was in a utility room that's just filled up with tools and building materials and things like that. And it was this very, very thin mud tube in the corner, and it required the technician moving some things around, knowing what to look for. And lo and behold, he calls me down and he said, you've got termites, and here's this mud tube. And I would have never seen that mud tube had he not pointed it out. So I guess I just want to throw in a you know, my own two cents and say that not all pest control companies are created equal, and you know, I've had very, very, very good experiences with Palmetto Exterminating, because you folks, you must have very good training for your technicians to know exactly what to look for.
Yes, we do. And I give all that credit to my father. I mean, he was a training teacher at heart. And, you know, the best training you can possibly give, and ongoing training, it's not just something you do once. You just got to continually do it. I mean, I've been doing this my whole life, and I'm learning something different every day. So we train our employees continuously. You're only as good as your least trained employee is what I always say. And the only way they get training too is experience in the field. The more inspections they make, the longer they've been in the industry, the more experience and the better inspectors they are. Because sometimes it's not about, you know, seeing that termite tube in the corner like you did, but it's also about instincts, intuition. You know, you say that, well, you know, something doesn't look right over here, or this looks like an area, if I were a termite, I would want to come up here because it's elevated moisture, it's in the shady side of the house, there's a lot of vegetation, those type of things. So it's almost kind of, you kind of got to go with your gut feeling sometime about, you know, that doesn't look right, I need to look a little closer over there. And you only get that with inspection, I mean, with experience and more inspection. So I fortunately, we've got a great crew, great employees, and we just try to do the best we can.
And there's a lot of things that homeowners can do on their own to prevent their house from being a target for termites, and any kind of a direct contact to the ground with any sort of wood around the house, or placing firewood too close to your home. What are some of the things that attract termites to your house?
Well, there are a lot of things that we recommend for a homeowner to do, and you mentioned just a couple of them. One is, you know, if any wood's in contact with the ground, it's inevitable that there is wood in contact with the ground on old houses, particularly on porches, but you need to make sure that that is constructed out of pressure-treated lumber designed to be in contact with the ground. Sometimes it's impossible to eliminate all wood in contact with the ground.
Pressure-treated lumber will still get termite infestations too, though, right?
Oh, yes, they do. They will deteriorate. You know, just because it's pressure-treated wood doesn't mean that the termites aren't going to infest it, particularly as it ages. It just, you know, the pressure treatment slows down the deterioration process. All organic matter is going to deteriorate over time. And particularly if it's like a 6x6 post on a front porch, you know, that the center of that post may not have the pressure treatment as good in the middle of it versus on the outside. So termites can come up through those. So we look at those areas very closely, and we tell the homeowner that we're looking at it, and we remind them that, you know, that's going to rot at some point in time. And if termites get into that, you know, it's not, that part of your structure is not going to be covered for that. And that just, it's common sense. But other things a homeowner can do, you know, that makes sense is keeping the bushes trimmed back a foot off the house, allow good air circulation because that allows for lower moisture. Don't build up mulch too high. We don't mind mulch, just don't pile it up so it's real thick, because that can create, as it decomposes, a nice thick layer of untreated soil that we have to retreat sooner than later. Also, making sure your maintenance is good. If you see any areas of cracking paint or caulk that's missing or deteriorated, redo all of those areas. The focus being control or limit the amount of above ground moisture that those termites can exploit, because they are attracted to wood rot. Fungus grows on that wood when it gets wet. It produces a byproduct that the termites are attracted to. So eliminating those areas is critical. You know, like I said earlier, cleaning your gutters, getting the leaf litter off your roof. We've seen termites infest leaf litter on a roof. So, you know, with the swarmers coming in. So those are all of those items that we tell homeowners that they need to look out for.
Well, and I was about to ask you about a term I've heard a few years ago, an aerial infestation.
Correct. Aerial infestations are created by these swarmers that we're talking about. It used to be, you know, 2-3 decades ago, kind of an unusual event or rare. Not anymore. Now that the Formosans populations have gotten so large and they've gotten so many swarmers, the odds have increased that those termites are going to find an above ground moisture issue and wood source that they can create an aerial infestation. That means they fly in, pair up, male and female, they mate. King and queen of the new colony, if you will. The queen starts laying eggs, and the queen can live up to 20 years, and those workers start developing a food source and then building a nest in that area that those termites can live in. So we are actually finding more aerial infestations today than we do ground-based infestations. So I would say greater than 50% of all of the activity that we are finding in a structure is aerial in nature.
And how do you know that? Because a homeowner is not getting underneath their house in the crawl space to look for mud tubes, and they're less likely to climb a ladder and get up on their roof to look for look for wood rot or anything that might attract an aerial infestation. So how do you know that you may have an aerial infestation?
Well, I mean, that's something that we investigate. A homeowner is not going to be able to make that determination. It's when we, you know, go to a property, whether it's a customer or non-customer, and we have an infestation that's up high around a door header, a window header, underneath the flat roof deck. We're having a lot of problems with those flat roof decks that they build for patios and whatnot, and you know that we can't find any evidence that there's termites coming up from the ground. Sometimes it's really easy to find out, like if it's a walk under house and it's all concrete piers or wood piling piers and you can see everything underneath, it's easy to find those tubes that would be seen in a crack or coming up the foundation or up those pilings. So we exhaust all effort to look for those ground-based scenarios, and then it's a process of elimination. Okay, we can't find any ground contact, then we go and we start investigating as we're doing the treatments to that above ground activity. We use infrared cameras to look for the hot spots. The nest will appear as a hot spot. Moisture issues will be a cool spot. Of course, we can obviously see the moisture and termite damage and the fungi growing on that once we take sheetrock off and start dismantling it. Really, that's how you verify it ultimately, is when you dismantle it, you start making the repairs, you determine whether or not there's actually a trail of the termites going to the ground. So a lot of times you can't see that until actually the repairs get started. I mean, we usually are 75 to 80% confident or suspect that it's an aerial infestation because we can't find any ground contact, but there's no other better verification of that than once you make the repairs.
Yeah. And the mud tubes, the termites, travel inside those, is that right? So they can get
correct
that moisture.
The
ground?
Termites are a very soft bodied insect. The ones that do the damage, the workers, which are the vast majority of the colony, there could be hundreds of thousands or millions of workers in a colony. They're little white insects. A lot of people think they're larvae, but no, they're full grown, and they're white. When an insect is white, that means they are very soft-bodied, and they can dry out very rapidly. So they need a lot of moisture, and they have to be in a protected environment. So that little mud tube that they're building over the surface of a foundation wall or up in the corner at your property, that's like a little protected tunnel that they're not exposed to the elements and they won't dry out. So all subterranean termites will build those tubes. They will also like to travel in between surfaces. So like two sistered boards together, or between the plywood and the 2x4, or behind the stucco or behind the brick, they will fill those areas up with tubing material, like the crack in between two 2x4s that are nailed together. They'll fill that crack up with that mud tube material, and it doesn't necessarily have to be mud or dirt. They make, like the aerial infestations, they're obviously not in contact with the ground. So they're making those tubes out of partially digested wood, saliva, and also fecal matter. So they're very good about gluing all that stuff together. It looks like dirt, but it's not in that circumstance when they don't have contact with the ground. Because we find termites all the time on boats sitting in the harbor and yachts with infestations, and they look like they've got these dirt nests and these mud tubes or dirt tubes that look like they have soil in them. But there's obviously, they're sitting in 15 feet of water. There's no way that could be soil.
Mm-hmm. So a homeowner gets termites and it creates a good bit of damage. Can they call up their homeowner's insurance and ask for, ask for any kind of damage
coverage
money?
Unfortunately, homeowners insurances do not cover termite damage. Depending on your policy, you might get some coverage if, say, like you had a moisture problem, like a leaky chimney or a deck that was leaking or something like that that caused rot damage. Now, if that's covered, you might have some coverage there if termites have also infested that area, because the moisture problem created a situation for the infestation to occur. So I have seen of late in situations where they have contributed some to that, but you have to have a very specific policy that covers those type of things, and usually they're kind of expensive. Mm-hmm. But most, in general terms, homeowners insurance will not cover any termite damage.
Do any of the termite contracts with pest control companies, do they cover any kind of damage? Is there any kind of a damage waiver or anything?
They all companies are different, but there are what they call a repair contract. Some people refer to it as a bond. There's not really a bond. It's a kind of a term that it misrepresents what you actually get, because they're not all the same. So you have a repair contract, and in that contract should spell out what their services are going to provide, retreatments and inspections, those type of things. And then you'll have the area of what's covered. Now, at very best, they're limited. They're not going to cover. You get a termite, they're going to pay something. It doesn't work that way. For example, most companies have common language in their contracts that say, if you have an above-ground moisture problem and a termite infestation occurs to that, that's going to be an exclusion. Now, there's some wiggle room with that. Not all moisture issues should be excluded. If it's a ground-based infestation, and there's a slight moisture source somewhere, a lot of companies will use that as an excuse, and they kind of, as an exclusion, say they're not going to cover it. An investigation needs to be done in those circumstances. So what I recommend to homeowners is they read very carefully, the terms and conditions of their contract. If it's complex and it seems confusing, maybe you need to get somebody that's familiar with it to take a look at it. With our contract, we try to make it fairly simple and common sense in the language that we have. But the most important thing I tell people they need to buy is not so much the coverages in that contract. What customers, homeowners need to be buying and focusing on first is they want to purchase the most effective termite control program that they can afford to buy. I represent that you can't afford to buy anything but the best, because if you have an infestation, you know, what that company does under their contract, you know, whether or not they're going to find an excuse or, you know, they're going to tell you something that it's going to be an exclusion, that contract's not going to be worth the paper that it's written on if they're giving you misinformation. So the best thing to do is get the most effective control program in place, and hopefully you never have to deal with that. Or if you do have to deal with it, it's going to be a minor issue because the control measures that they did, you know, limited the amount of termites that damage they could do until they were discovered. You know, we're going to see infestations on house. You can do a perfect termite treatment and you can still get an infestation. So, you know, when that occurs, you know, the quality of that company and the experience of that company is going to be more important than what the language is in that contract.
Mm-hmm. And Palmetto exterminators, whenever they do an inspection on a property, you folks always send me a very detailed report. It has photographs of any previous damage. And so your Palmetto exterminators is very, very good about documenting everything and knowing what maybe was there before you folks came in, so that you're not being forced to take responsibility for a problem that happened before you were even on the scene.
Correct. I mean, that's not necessarily the purpose. We want to document the existing condition of the property. Once, if it's something we are treating post-construction after it's built. But yes, our main goal of those inspections is one to find any evidence of termite activity or the conditions conducive, but then we want to communicate what we find to the homeowner. So we have diagrams that we draw for each structure. We take digital photographs. Nothing speaks more than a photograph. So we document those findings in locations on the diagram with a photograph. It speaks 1,000 words, and it's very easy then for you to see, okay, you've got condensation around your air duct in your crawl space and it's sweating and you got some fungi growth there. Well, it's easy for to describe that and put that in writing, but until you see a photograph of it, you can't picture what the heck we're talking about, because most homeowners never go in their crawl space. Mm-hmm. We don't expect them to. That's what they've got us for. So we want to document that to make it easier for the homeowner to understand what we're finding. We also document where there is no damage.
Mm-hmm.
So how does a homeowner know that we inspected that plumbing penetration in the crawl space? Well, yeah, because we got a picture of some of them.
That's a good point.
And we say plumbing penetrations inspected, no damage, and you've got a picture of it there that looks good. So that way we create a history, a chronology of the structure. It's been amazing how we could go back, you know, 20 years, and we say, well, what did it look like 20 years ago? And sure enough, we've got some pictures of those exact same spots, you know, 20 years ago, and we can compare the pictures to now and, you know, just 5 years ago or even 6 years ago.
Your home is your biggest investment. I know that's a cliche, and so is the cliche that it's not a matter of if, but when you will get termites. So if you do not have a contract with a termite company, you need to get one. And how can folks get in touch with Palmetto Exterminators?
Well, they can call our Charleston office, which is 843-766-9701. Or they can just get online and get all the information that I just talked about. And there's some coupons on our website, and that's palmettoexterminators.net. You can also look up our palmettomosquitocontrol.com website as well.
All right, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Bert Snyder with Palmetto Exterminators. Thanks so much, Bert.
Thanks, Tim. Good talking with you.
Talking about a home.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.